Hey, I'm Brock with Brock Entertainment, and this is the I Do IQ podcast, where each and every week we're going to be discussing the latest in wedding and event trends. And in the end, you will have the best wedding and event experience ever. This is the I Do IQ podcast. Let's begin. Welcome back to the I Do IQ podcast. We got Brock here, Brittany Bloom over there.
That's me.
And we're having a great day.
We are.
You know, you just went to a wedding in New Orleans.
Nolens.
Tell us about that.
Oh, gosh. It was beautiful. It was for a dear friend of mine, Dan, who got married to the love of his life. Lauren, who is incredible, and I love her to death.
What was the theme?
There wasn't really a theme, but they definitely wanted to stay true to like New Orleans culture. So we did like a second line after the ceremony.
I love second lines.
I wish we could do them here.
Like, so much fun. I have done them
with me.
I have done them at some weddings, but yeah, it doesn't happen a lot.
No, it doesn't. It's hard because like people, a lot of people don't know what it is, but it's so much fun.
It is cool.
But they honestly, it was great. It was at a venue called Race of Religious down in the Garden District. Really, really cute. They're known for this like little pool that they have in the center of the property. And at the end of the night, like everybody jumps in. So that was pretty cool. I did not do that.
No, you didn't.
I had gotten dressed.
Yeah.
But 80 people, nice and intimate,
oh, yeah.
But a good party from like, I mean, we were all on that dance floor all night.
I love it.
Yeah. Great food too. Oh my gosh.
Oh, I bet. Did they have beignets at all? Any beignets?
Yeah,
late night beignets would have been great.
They had late night beignets. my husband had to tell me how terrible they were so that I didn't feel bad that I couldn't
eat. Well, because they are not gluten-free.
They are not gluten-free. However, during cocktail hour, they had a guy walking around with oysters on like a tray. Not a tray, but like, you know those little like the smoky girls, the carton girls?
Yeah.
It was like one of those, except it was oysters.
Oh.
It was awesome. So I got to do that. And then a lot of the food at the buffet was gluten-free. So I was happy.
Yeah, you had a good night then.
I had a great night.
Nolens weddings.
I had a great night.
I've never DJed a wedding in Nolens, but I have DJed a party.
I would love to do a wedding in New Orleans. Somebody, please.
She just wants to do a wedding.
I love New Orleans so much. I always have.
I did one in Baton Rouge.
Okay.
On a old plantation.
Ooh.
In the city. And it was gorgeous. And they were like, hey, so how can we get you to DJ all the events here?
And you're like,
and I go, well, it's about 9 hours for me.
Yeah. New Orleans,
I'd love
10 hours.
But I don't know that I can make that happen. So
it's so cool. But we also got to stay at this little bed and breakfast called the Terrell House, which is great for intimate weddings. They do like smaller weddings in their courtyard.
Oh, cool.
And I had visited because when I was working in Dallas, we went to New Orleans a lot and we came down to look at a couple venues. So I wanted to do a shoot, and it was actually a place that I had toured and didn't realize it until we booked it. And I got there and I was like, wait a minute.
Hey,
I've been here before.
I recognize this place.
I recognize this place, but really cute bed and breakfast. Highly recommend anybody who's going down to New Orleans and wants to stay in the Garden District. It's a great location. It's right on Magazine Street.
That's awesome.
So yeah, that was great. We had a blast.
I'm glad you had a good time.
Yeah.
Just quick jot down there.
It was.
Friday to Sunday.
Yeah. It was a definitely a roundabout or a whirlwind, I guess would be the correct term.
So today I got the vendor report for 2024 from The Knot because I'm a wedding pro on there, and they surveyed nearly 10,000 couples on, and here's what you need to know and act on.
Let's hear about it.
That's what we'll go through. So what they did was they captured responses from around 10,000 U.S. couples married between January 1st and December 31st of last year, 2023. Respondents were recruited via email, blah, 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 blah. Okay. So 75% of couples say guest experience is most important.
I'm seeing a lot of that lately.
It's all about the experience.
Yep. They want their guests to be happy.
From beginning to end.
Yep.
You know?
I don't want them sitting outside for a long time. I just want a party. The foodies are all about, we have to give them the best foodie experience. I'm here for it. I say, let's do it. Throw a big old party.
68% of people getting married are millennials. 14% average number of wedding pros hired. 14.
Wait, what? I don't understand that. I didn't understand the way that was said.
14 is the average number of wedding pros hired for each wedding.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And 42% picked a fall wedding date.
Well, yeah.
Fall is a big time.
It's like the big, people don't understand.
So
they're like, we think fall would be great because of it. I'm like, you and everybody else.
It is great, but yeah, everybody's getting married in the fall. Couples.
June brides are not like a thing anymore. Like it's all.
It isn't. It is not. June used to be the month.
It used to be the biggest one.
Now and we're just talking about in Northwest Arkansas and Arkansas.
And now it's May and October every year.
Yes.
Every year. Those are my two biggest months.
Today's couples are an average of 32 years old when they get married and are engaged for an average of 15 months.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. Let's see here. This is for Gen Z. How Gen Z stacks up against their older counterparts while wedding planning. Gen Z start wedding planning within 6 months of their date. 20%. 15% for millennials. You should probably do it.
Should be doing that way before then.
Number of guests invited. Gen Z, 131. Millennials, 115.
So they're like right on par.
Likely to ask friends, family for vendor referrals. 75% Gen Z, 71% millennials. Likely to use Pinterest for planning. 72% Gen Z, 67% millennials. And wants to communicate with vendors via text. 42% Gen Z, 32% millennials. I'm more of an email guy.
And I like keeping things in email. I was going to say, and 2% wedding vendors. Y'all, we need things in writing. We prefer it in an email.
I like the emails, yeah. How couples planned their weddings in 2003, all right?
2003?
23.
Oh.
So top five challenges couples face when planning. Number one, planning within a budget.
Yep, because nobody understands what things cost these days.
This is very true.
Not very saying that true. Is like a derogatory, no, it's true. Like whatever. It's just nobody truly understands what it costs. And then they have sticker shock and they don't want to pay it. And right. They want to find a cheaper way. But that's.
But still want that but same they still experience. Want
it to, this, yeah. And it's just not possible. Yeah,
no. Number two, making decisions. Number three, determining the guest list.
Yep.
And number four, balancing wants, priorities with those of family.
Yeah. I try to nip that in the butt real quick.
Yeah.
And like within like my first call, I'm like, what do you want?
Yeah, it's not about your family.
I work for you. This is about you. Yes, we're going to give everybody a good experience, but we need to make sure that you guys are happy. Right. Don't worry about the family.
It's your day. Right. Number five, knowing where to start. They don't even know how to get started. Yeah. So where do you tell them to start?
Well, most people come to me with a venue. Some don't. Some come to me as their first and then we find the venue. I think if you're going to hire a wedding planner, I think that should be one of your first vendors, because they're going to be able to direct you in what you're looking for experience wise, stylistically wise, or whatever for your venue, and also be able to get to you, like help you find the right vendors for you. So, you know, a photographer that's going to match your energy or be able to bring out, you know, if you're feeling awkward pose, then you need someone that's a really big like cheerleader as a photographer that can get you to laugh, but also like pump up your confidence.
That's a good point.
Whereas if you are already super bubbly and that's not an issue, maybe you need someone that is a little more like go with the flow, that's going to go with your personality instead of someone who's super rigid and like, you know.
That's a good point. So according to this, 37% of couples hired a wedding planner.
Yeah, we need to make that higher.
70% of couples use wedding planner planning websites and apps like the Knot and Wedding Wire. 7 hours a week was done for planning. An average of 7 hours a week. So
I wish it was only 7 hours a week.
And 91% of wedding planning happened online. Here's some of the top.
Yeah. Like everything's digital these days.
Top predicted wedding dates for the year. September 21st.
Okay. Yep. I've got one.
September 14th.
I don't have one that day.
June 22nd.
I do.
May 18th.
I don't.
October 12th. Crazy busy for us.
Yes. All my October's fully booked.
Mine's almost fully booked.
May, I have 4 weddings, but they're within 2 weekends. And then I just kind of like stopped. I was like, we're good. Done. I'm like, we're done for this month. Because my girls deserve a break too. And if we're all working 2 weeks in a row, I don't need somebody working 4 weeks in a row. But yeah, it's kind of crazy. June 22nd is huge this year.
It is.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
Why is that?
My June 22nd couple, no.
Yeah, June 22nd, we have 11 weddings.
June, I have 3 weddings or 4 weddings, which is actually kind of high for me this year, I think. I've got one where they're doing like a 12-hour day. They're getting married in the morning. They're having like a brunchy whatever at the venue.
With just
then
family
having
or?
Whatever cocktail, then having like a 3-hour cocktail hour and then doing dinner and then doing dancing. And I was like, y'all are nuts.
3-hour cocktail? And what's happening?
I think they're just going to wait for people to get there. I try to talk them out of it.
That's so long.
I tried. Couples I really did.
That are listening, couples, and even wedding planners that are listening.
They don't want to have the break in the middle. And I'm like,
I get it.
Who cares though? Like nobody cares anymore.
Quit telling your brides they need more and more time.
They don't.
As a DJ and an entertainment for these receptions, over 6 hours is too much time.
I agree.
I
I DJ so many.
Unless it's a cultural thing. Like, well, there are certain things.
That's fine. But yeah. Over 6 hours in general, just way too long. Mm-hmm. Because a great amount of time for dancing is a max 2 hours. That's a lot of dancing.
I agree. Unless, I completely agree. And I try to ask that question when I'm on, like, in like those early calls. I'm like, what kind of crowd are you guys inviting? Is it mostly like family and they're kind of on the older side? Are you inviting a ton of friends? Do you have some younger people? Like, what is, are you partiers or are you more laid back?
But because even if you are, and I tell every couple this. So everybody, please listen. You want to leave a party on a high note.
Yes.
Not, when is this party going to end?
Yep.
Because we can keep a party going as long as you want. But you want to keep your guests wanting more.
Yes.
And a lot of these weddings, like, well, if we just book 6 hours, it ends too early. It ends at like 9 o'clock. Well, why are you starting at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? That's too early.
I mean, sometimes, okay, but it, in some people's defense, sometimes they don't have a choice because...
Well, I understand
the church,
that.
If, like the church will designate when, or if you've got a slot at Garvin Gardens, you know, they do 4 weddings a day or whatever.
Right.
So, like, I get that. But I think you also have to be willing to... If you do have one of those earlier slots, I think you have to entertain the idea of having that break in between ceremony and reception. And it's okay. It's just not seen as often anymore.
Right.
It used to be all the time. But because it's not seen as often, I think people are a little bit scared of it. And like, well, then nobody's going to have anything to do. Trust me, people will find something
to
do.
Yes, they will.
They will go out to lunch. They will go to a bar. They will go do something.
And they will come back.
They will come back because you're feeding them free food. Like, yep. They will come back. Don't worry. And I think that's kind of where this couple is. They are so sweet. Like, and I spent like an hour on the phone with them trying to talk them through like 3 different ways of doing this. But ultimately, this is what they decided to do. And so I think it's going to be a really long day for them. I think it's going to be a really long day for their guests.
And it is. And
we'll see if we actually make it till.
It's like, just so long. You don't understand when you're getting married, if you've never done it before, how long your day is.
Yeah.
And how exhausted.
Especially for the bride and the bridesmaids, because they have to wake up extra early for hair and makeup.
It's just so long. And wedding planners, I'm telling you, quit telling your brides they need more time.
Yeah.
A cocktail. And a lot of times I'll get your timelines. I'm like, timelines are almost irrelevant, especially when you put specific times, because it never goes that way.
Don't look at me.
It almost never goes that way.
I was like, excuse me, my timelines are immaculate, but I always build in like a 15 to 20 minute buffer.
There you go.
I know that we're not going to be at 9:07. Like, I know that, but if as long as I'm within 15 minutes of that, I'm fine.
5 to 6 hour weddings are ideal. They are just, from having done more weddings than anybody listening, probably combined. We're getting close to 2,000 to 2,500 weddings in the last 20 years. I have seen it all, and I know the exact timing that works perfect. And leaving your guests on a high note, you can never go wrong.
Yeah.
Where they leave and like, man, we wanted to stay and party longer.
Yeah.
Because we had so much fun. You leave them 1 more hour. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We're ready to go.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Just saying.
And you will, and some people will say, well, then they should just leave. But some people won't. Like, they respect, like, the whole, like,
the whole ending.
We're going to be here till the end.
Yep.
We want to support you till the end. And so they will stick around. Mainly it's parents.
Yeah.
Like, my dad for our vow renewal was definitely ready to leave.
He's like, I'm over it.
But he didn't get on the dance floor, and that's his fault. So,
come on, dad.
Silly dad.
Top wedding trends of 2023. Right. 91%. Do a first dance.
Yeah. Everybody does a first dance.
85% order of the day was ceremony, cocktail hour, then reception.
Yes.
84% of couples created a wedding website. 83% had friends or family give toasts. 79% took engagement photos.
Only 79. Okay. Yep.
73% of guests had specific table assignments.
73?
Uh-huh.
I'm glad to hear that.
You know what I saw on TikTok?
Specific table
a really cool table assignment where instead of just a number, they had the number, but then they had a picture of the couple at that age.
That's cute.
1-year-old, 2-year-old, 3-year-old.
That's cute.
It was unique.
But I'm a big yes, put people at certain tables.
Oh, you are?
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
62% of couples had an open bar. That's nice.
Yeah.
62 had a semi-formal affair.
Love it.
Dress-wise. 56% of couples do a first look. I love first looks because then it saves a lot of time on the back end.
It saves so much time.
38% of couples included a QR code in their save the dates.
Huh.
Yeah. There's also a new top song in town after a historic 6-year run of Perfect by Ed Sheeran as the most popular first dance. Elvis, Can't Help Falling in Love, is now number one, but I don't think it's from Elvis.
No, I think it's from the movie.
The Kina Giannis or something like that is her name.
Huh?
What movie are you talking about?
I'm talking about the Elvis movie that came out recently.
No. Well, yeah, that might be why.
I think that's why it's had a resurgence.
From Kina Granis is the song. The girl version.
Okay.
She sings it from Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh.
We don't normally get the version from Elvis at weddings. That was my parents' first dance song.
Was it
or really? Wedding song at their wedding. Nice. So here are the top wedding colors. Green.
Yep.
Blue. Mm-hmm. Pink.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not going anywhere.
Couples are investing in small businesses.
What?
So they're using smaller businesses for their wedding venues, like underrepresented groups. So
okay.
A lot more. 2 in 5 are investing in those businesses. All right. Weddings by the numbers around the U.S.
All right. I like
in the West, the average guest count was $102 or 102 people. $343 per guest.
Whoa. In the West?
I mean,
that makes sense. It's in the West, but in the still.
Midwest, $139, $252. So that would be Missouri, Kansas, Northeast, New England.
Yeah, but I think they're looking at some of the bigger cities in the Midwest. Continue.
Okay. Northeast and New England, average guest count, 109.
Okay.
Cost per guest, 321.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Mid-Atlantic, 123, 285 per guest. Okay. South, 102 guests, 343, on par with the West. That's Florida and stuff. And then the Southwest, which, well, South is also Arkansas.
Yeah.
Southwest is 127 guests and $276 per guest.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah. I think those are accurate because I'm like doing like the average of what my couple spends with like per wedding per around 150 people. And it's in the threes. So
in the South, 49% of couples in this region hired a planner.
Yeah.
49%.
Let's go.
Versus 37% nationwide. So
let's get that even higher, please.
In the West, couples describe their wedding as the outdoorsy.
Really? Okay.
Southwest, 60% of the couples in that region had a grand reception exit, like sparklers, fireworks.
I feel like that's everybody.
Versus 29% nationwide. Midwest, couples took engagement photos, 84% did instead of 79%.
That's why I was surprised that it was only like 79% before, because I feel like everybody takes them.
Couples in the Northeast are more focused on personalization.
Yes, they are.
In Mid-Atlantic, couples are more likely to have a focus on food and beverage.
So. Yeah, I could definitely see that.
The top pros hired by couples, 92% wedding dress, 91% venue, 89% photographer, wedding rings was 87%, caterer, 86%, menswear, 86%, cake, 80%, beauty was 76%, and 72% for a DJ. 72%, which
is
still not bad, but still. Things couples care most about, 75% guest experience.
Yep.
Cost and budget was 64%. Personalization, 63%, 62% overall look and vibe, and food and beverage was 62%.
Interesting.
And how do you find success in 2024 and beyond? 50% of couples surveyed said one or more of their vendors helped them to maintain or work within their budget. They like that. And only 16% of couples surveyed described their weddings as do-it-yourself. That's good.
BS.
63% of couples told us personalization and planning a wedding that was a true reflection of their relationship was the most important thing to them about the planning process.
Yeah.
So do you get that a lot?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. They want it to be about them. So focus on personalization. Be experience obsessed.
That's literally one of my biggest things is like making sure that it's a representation of the couple.
Yes. Be experience obsessed. What that means is be obsessed with the client experience.
Yeah.
Which is what I have focused on from day one.
Right.
With Brock Entertainment. How is it for the client? I try to make it super easy, stress-free from the get-go because there's nothing they need to stress about when it comes to entertainment with us. Adopt and be flexible with technology. Refine your marketing and optimize your advertising. That's for vendors.
I do need to optimize my advertising.
Where do you advertise?
I'm on the knot.
Yeah.
Because I can't not be.
No pun intended.
No pun intended. But like, seriously, like I book several from that a year. It would be silly of me not to. But then, you know, I publish nationally. So I think not a lot of that, but a good chunk of it comes from there. And then honestly, I get a ton of stuff from like vendors. So I'm not paying too much for advertising, but I feel like maybe I should be. Somebody told me Google ads really work.
It just depends. You just got to optimize those as well.
Yeah, I just don't know how to do that.
Yeah, I don't either, but you can hire somebody that does. So
can't AI figure that out for me?
Actually, probably yes.
Probably.
It's just implementing it.
Yeah.
Is the key.
But I think we're going to be, you know, I'm going to be focusing on over the next year, really promoting the Wedding Blue Book and like figuring out how Bloom fits into that as well.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. Speaking of which, you need to fill out your form.
Oh, yeah, I know. So there you go. The Not Real Weddings vendor report.
Interesting.
Just a fun little snapshot.
I like it.
There you go. Yeah, well, Brittany, that's it. I need to stretch.
I need to.
Yeah. Have a good one, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening, and make sure to subscribe and expect a new exciting episode each and every week. Please follow us on social as well at @IDOIQPodcast. If you have a guest recommendation or a topic you would like to hear discussed on the podcast, please let us know. The I Do IQ podcast is recorded at the Civil Republic Production Studio in Bentonville, Arkansas, and produced by me, Brock. For more information about Brock Entertainment, visit DJBrockEntertainment.com. Thank you again, and we'll see you on the next episode.